Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
But God says, don't let sin be the monarch of you. Don't let sin boss you around. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to do. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to drink. Don't let that old crowd tell you how to talk. Don't let that old crowd tell you where to go. Don't let sin reign any longer in your body and in your life.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Victory Through Jesus Christ.
Well, today we learn that our victory is found in Jesus Christ. We also learn of the struggle that the Apostle Paul experienced in his daily quest for victory. Now, one reason that I trust the Scriptures, and one reason that I believe in the truth of Scriptures, is that God throughout Scripture tells us about the real struggle of the human authors of Scripture. We read about the emotions of Jeremiah. We read about the hurt and the pride of Elijah. We read about the depression of David. How many of you ever have read the Psalms and you think, boy, he was really going through it when he wrote these Psalms? And today, of all things, we read about the struggles of the Apostle Paul himself. Someone that I believe, other than Jesus Christ, may have been the greatest Christian that ever lived. And yet the Holy Spirit gives us the truth of the matter in every situation. Now, we learned in Romans chapter 6 that we as Christians are buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. We learn that we have victory at the cross. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 that he was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives. We learn that our old man is defeated and that he has no more dominion over us as Christians, and that we live today and we are to live in the power of the presence of Jesus Christ. And so Romans 6 taught us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. We are to yield ourselves daily to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in chapter 7, we find that even the Apostle Paul struggled. We find that there were times when he reckoned in his mind, but his body had another idea, or his members had another idea. And I believe many Christians would say the same, that we know what God would have us to do, but there is sometimes a fleshly pull to do otherwise. Now, the theme of Romans 7 really is the law of God. In fact, 23 times we read about the law of God in this chapter. And we find in this chapter the Apostle Paul, who has already taught us that we can be emancipated from the power of sin, is teaching us that we can be emancipated from the condemnation of the law. Now, we're not going to get to that till the very end of the chapter, so stay with me along the way. But by way of introduction, I want to speak to you for a moment about the law. Sometimes we hear people talk about the law, and I don't want to be a part of the law. And certainly we're freed from the condemnation of the law. But what does the Bible really say about the law? Let me share a few things that are in your notes this morning. First of all, we know from the Bible that the law is moral and the law is good. In fact, many of the laws of our land are derived from scriptural law. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More desired are they to be than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:3, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I want you to understand this morning that the law is moral and the law is good. And sometimes we hear people say, well, I don't have to follow the law anymore, I'm under grace. And that is a misinterpretation of Scripture, for the law is still our guide. It still directs us, the Holy Spirit, of course, leading us to obey and to conform to the image of Christ. But the law is good and the law is moral. The second thing we learn in Scripture is that the law reveals sin. Now, notice this in verse 7, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. So the law of God is like sunlight. When light shines in a filthy place, it does not make the place dirty, but it exposes the filth that is there that could not have been seen in the dark. So the law is morally good, and the law helps us to see where we fall short. In fact, without the law, we would not be saved, because it is the law that reminds us that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And so we see this morning, the law reveals sin. Thirdly, the law cannot save. Now, the law can show us that we need to be saved, but it is important to remember that the law cannot save. Now, sometimes you'll hear the term legalist. And when someone refers to a legalist, in the purest theological definition of a legalist, this is someone who taught that by keeping the law of God, you could get saved. By obeying the laws, you could almost earn your way to heaven. That is the definition of a legalist. Sometimes you'll hear the term legalistic. That means maybe someone that's kind of making up a lot of extra things and being sort of holier than thou and emphasizing the law more than grace, perhaps. But the true definition of a legalist is someone who really taught that salvation is found by keeping the law of God. The fact, however, is that no one can keep the law of God. Notice in your notes, James chapter 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So the Bible says, if you keep the whole law, and if you read the Old Testament, not just the Ten Commandments, but throughout the Scriptures, if you keep all of it, but you mess up in one point, then you mess up in all. So the law cannot save. The law can only show us we need a Savior, all right? And so just by way of introduction, the law is not the way to salvation. Number four, the law dominates until we are in Christ. The law will continually point to our faults. It will continually show us that we are wrong. It will condemn us until we realize what Christ has done for us. Now, there's an amazing example of this in the early verses of chapter 7, and it's an example dealing with marriage and divorce. And it is not the comprehensive passage on divorce, and so we're not going there this morning, but there's an illustration used here, and I want you to see it in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath given dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Now, don't get any ideas, ladies. We're not going there with this passage this morning, but this is an illustration. What does the illustration tell us? It tells us that a woman is bound by the law to be faithful to her husband, but that she is loosed if her husband dies. The application that we find here in Romans chapter 7 is very simply this, that when we died in Jesus Christ, we were emancipated from the law and we were given grace by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer condemned. In fact, let's just jump ahead to chapter 8 and verse 1. This is what I'm going to preach next Sunday morning. But look at chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no, what's the word say? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So, as a woman is loosed from the law because of the death of her husband, we are loosed from the condemnation of the law because we are dead in Jesus Christ. The old man is crucified. We are buried with him in the likeness of his death. Look it, you don't go up to a traffic scene and see someone that had been drinking and driving and they died in the accident, and you don't write that dead person a ticket. It's nonsensical. They're dead to the law. And so the condemnation of the law is no longer a force in the life of the believer, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The law, one author said, implies a broken relationship with God, whereas grace implies a restored relationship with Him. So when Paul said we died to the law, he meant we died to that entire state of condemnation, curse, and alienation from God. And then number five, the law is spiritual. Some people act like, well, we're in the New Testament age, so all the law of God is kind of obsolete. But I want you to know the law is spiritual. It is alive, and it is still a guide for us. You say, why do you bring this point? Look at verse 14 as we begin into our text. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." So being saved does not mean that we disregard the moral laws of God. It's not like, okay, I'm saved, I'm never going to read the book of Numbers. I'm saved, I don't need to read the book of Genesis. No, no, no. The law, the Bible says in verse 14, is still spiritual. So as we look into the passages of Romans 6, 7, and 8, we see that the law is perfect. We see that the new man that has been given to us in Jesus Christ dwells in us. But we're going to learn in chapter 7 that we also still live in a fleshly body, that we still live in the flesh, and so we are involved in a spiritual battle according to the Word of God. And let's learn about this from the Apostle Paul, and let's learn how to have victory in the spiritual battle. If you're taking notes, notice first of all this morning the failure of the flesh. You see, the law reminds us where the flesh is failing. The Bible says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, the question was asked in Romans 6:1. Should a Christian sin willfully because he's under grace? God forbid. But do Christians battle with sin? Yes. The Bible makes it clear in chapter 7 that even the great apostle Paul knew in his mind spiritually certain things, but the members of his body warred in another direction. In fact, he says in verse 14, "I am carnal." Let's say that together. I knew you were. I just wanted to hear you say it. All right, no, just kidding. So Paul says, "I am carnal." And the word for carnal is the Greek word sarkos, which speaks of the flesh. He said, "I am made of the flesh." And when you study theologically, the kinds of people in the world today, I'm not talking about Asian, African, Hispanic, I'm talking about saved, lost, and carnal. A carnal Christian is someone who has received Christ, but they're not walking in the Spirit, they're walking in the flesh. And the Bible says that this is a walk of failure. It is a walk of frustration to walk in the flesh. So notice letter A, the ongoing battle. The Bible says in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not." In other words, that which I know I should do, I don't do. "For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Now here you begin to see the Apostle Paul speaking of the battle that he faced in his own life. And it is mentioned also in Galatians 5:17. Notice what it says. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would."
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily.